morning. A couple of announcements this morning. Next week, Sunday school and adult Bible study, 10 o'clock, and worship service at 11. Monday, women's Bible study here at the church, 7 o'clock. Wednesday, men's group, 7:30, and I think that's at my parents there in Bentley. Friday, Bible study is 7. Youth next Saturday at 7 at Neil and Amanda's. And I think that's right, but if it's different, we'll let you know. Any other announcements? Any prayer requests? Carter will read the psalm this morning, and Tom will say the prayer and bring us the message.
Psalm reading today is Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust into princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven, and earth, and sea, and all that there is in, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them up that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, and even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you on the Sabbath thankful and joyful with the land drying up and the snow melting and a new season happening where we plant crops and work very hard to produce what's necessary for us physically in this land that you've provided. We thank you for all the means and all the necessary things that have to get done. We thank you for the ability to do it. We thank you for the health that it takes within our being to sustain the work. And Father, we ask that you would continue to be with us as we look into your word this morning, as we glean from it what is necessary for the flock here. We ask that you would point us in the right direction of the author so that we can walk the path and walk our race in a way that is glorifying you in this season of life. Father, we thank you for the congregation here in Silver Lake. We thank you for the bride of Christ. We thank you for the saints here that love you immensely through your word and through that spirit that indwells. And Father, we ask you on this day to just open up your word in spirit and in truth and give us a nugget from your word that can have impact and import on our lives. We ask that you would open the ears of everyone here today that can hear you through that spirit and give us the ability and the courage to move in your kingdom and to direct your word forward in it so that it hits the hearts of those that do not believe. Father, we ask that you would help the rulers of government in this nation to acquire wisdom from your word, acquire direction from your word, and make decisions based on your word. As some of the things that are happening in the world we see as contrary to your word, and we ask that you would strongly encourage these young leaders to be able to not only preach the good news of Jesus Christ, but to apply its principles in every way so that the land, like it says in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people will hearken unto me, I will heal their land and their nations. And Father, we as Christians, older and young, haven't stand as strong as you asked us to stand in past, and decisions have not been made the way godly decisions should be made, and we ask that you would give us courage in standing on the truth in every way so that we don't have governments ruling in a way that it does. And at the same time, Father, we know by your Lord and Savior's example, by dying for us and saving us from our sins and giving his righteousness to us through his life, we have peace with God and we have eternal victory and a home in heaven. We understand this, but we live here, Father, and this is not our home, and we understand that, but give us the ability to stand in the truth in every way. Give us the ability to be an example to others, show grace to others, compassion to others, rebuke to others if necessary, so that your word would flourish in this nation, in this province. And Father, we thank you above all for your Son and that Holy Spirit and that perfect prayer that you taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue with 192.
Thank you.
May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be granted unto you through that indwelling Holy Spirit on this hour and day of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to the book of Titus. That's right after Timothy, if you're not sure where it is. Very short, 3-chapter book. I must say there's not much information in Titus. And if I was to tell you the truth, why I'm speaking in Titus, I have no clue. But there is something here that is important to all of us, and it's the heart of Titus. And Through the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God, we can maybe get a glimpse of what that looks like today. Titus was a Greek Gentile and a close associate to Paul, Apostle Paul. While the Bible doesn't explicitly say where his birthplace is, he was likely from Syrian Antioch and served as the first bishop of Crete. Well, what is a bishop? A bishop is an overseer, a superintendent, pastor, elder, a head of whatever state it is. There's many different definitions of a bishop in the Bible. But I look at it as an overseer, or pastor, or elder. And Paul speaks very highly of Titus in Galatians and Corinthians. And he's, if you look at first chapter, it gives an example of what bishops are, and from verses 6 on to 16. And I personally believe he thought this was of a very good example of Titus, was hospitality, a lover of good men, holding fast in the faithful word, taught by sound doctrine, was able to convince gainsayers and persuade people of the gospel, of the good news. And there was a problem. There was many deceivers, especially Gentiles, and him being one, they weren't taught of highly. But Paul said himself that Titus was like his own son, no different than Timothy, very similar. The strengths of Titus are he's hospitable, faithful to the word, teaches sound doctrine, persuasive and convincing. So let's read this text that goes from chapter 2 to chapter 3 of verse 8. So we'll read it. It's short. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So we have here Titus is how is he described by Apostle Paul is where I'm going at. And there's many places in Scripture if we look. If we look at 2 Corinthians 2:13, we could look in there and see what he says. It says here that basically something about rest in the Spirit. Uh, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. He couldn't find Titus. For some reason, he wasn't around, or he was not at the place where he expected him to be. He couldn't find any rest in his spirit because something was missing. He was expecting to see him, and he didn't see him. And I look at that, and I think about that. We all have, or we should have, or we've all had a person in our lives that had impact and import. We could not talk to them, and 6 months later, we could go talk to them. We'd pick up the same conversation we had 6 months before. They were like a kindred spirit to us. And I believe that's what Paul is saying about Titus. He was very positive, compassionate. He had influence on all that was around. He was a hard worker. He was someone that you could trust. He had integrity and character. And whenever Paul saw him, it would bring joy to his heart. And whenever Titus went to report of how the church was doing, it overjoyed Paul. And we see that in his mention of Titus. 2 Corinthians 7, 6 and 7 says, "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more." Titus had the ability to bring good news, even if the news was bad. He had ability to make it sound and appear godly, just the way Paul writes about him in 2 Corinthians 13, 15. 2 Corinthians 7, 13 to 15. "Therefore we were comforted but in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." He had a refreshing spirit. "For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even of you, so our boasting which I made before Titus is found in truth," telling him how Paul was telling Titus how the church was growing in Crete, and it was important because he'd heard all this stuff. "And the inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him," and how he was treated. Titus was telling Paul how he was treated. Chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." But he would be part of the people in Crete, finishing what his work was there. And 8, 16 and 17, I believe it says, "For indeed he accepted the exhortation of being more forward of his own accord, and he went to you, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches." That's 2 Corinthians 8, 16 and 17. Also in 2 Corinthians 8, 23, it says, "Whether any of you do inquire of Titus, he is my partner, fellow helper concerning you, or your brethren be inquired of, that are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ." And in 2 Corinthians 12, 18, "I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make again of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, Paul is saying, Titus is kind of like me. We have the same kindred spirit. We have the same faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, Galatians chapter 2, 1-5. Wrong text there. Then 14 years ago, after I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I took Titus with me also, and I went up to, by revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Meaning he spoke to other people to that, like Peter and those guys also, to help support what he's preaching was truth. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which is we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring it us unto knowledge, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Titus didn't want to be circumcised. Remember Timothy, his other son in the faith, Paul circumcised. But Titus didn't want to. And actually, Paul appreciated the fact that Titus was bold and confident in the fact that I don't have to get circumcised. Obviously, he must have had the understanding of circumcision of the heart, which was necessary, but he felt that that wasn't necessary at the time. And I think with Timothy, he wanted to be part of the group, so he did get circumcised. So the difference there, he was a little bit bold, and he was going against the grain, Titus. And it's something that Paul appreciated. So we have here a brother in Christ. And when you look at this whole thing, I look at it as a kindred spirit. Somebody that you look up to, that has helped you, encouraged you, made you grow in the faith, created conversation about Jesus, not only to you, but in groups of people. And every time you talk, it might be a sister, it might be a cousin, might be just a friend, not even related, that has really had impact on your life. And I believe Titus was one of those people with Paul. It just seems that way from what's written. And we all have those people that are bold, confident in what Jesus is doing in their lives and in their families' lives, and at the same time are compassionate, merciful, and gracious. He was all of this through the Spirit. And if you read what it says here, it says, you know, he was given to hospitality, I believe, good men, lover of good men, just, holy, temperate. He had the fruit of the Spirit. He didn't lose his temper. He had the ability to, no matter what the situation was, he would say what it is with boldness. But at the same time, he would show it with a heart of compassion. That's very difficult to do. But God gave him that. And Titus was had the ability to build up the church or the bride of Christ in a way through conversation, through his speech. He wasn't afraid to have hard conversations with people that may be controversial, but he did it with grace and mercy. For the 11th verse, which I'm not speaking on, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, it appeared to Titus. And if you look in the third chapters, there's instructions and teaching about from 4 to 6, it's 4 to 7. It says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So we have here very much instruction of Titus when it starts that chapter 3 off. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no man, be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." Titus was transformed by the preaching of the word. He was changed from who he used to be. He had kindness. He loved his Savior. It wasn't works righteousness. It was done because he felt the mercy of God applied to his heart through the work of the cross, the washing of regeneration. He was clean. Every part of him was clean because of the blood that was shed for him. He knew that the Holy Ghost would comfort him, correct him. He was able to share this with individuals, especially with Paul. I guess, do you have a sister and brother in Christ that does that for you? Besides the Holy Spirit, besides God the Father, besides our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do you have a friend, cousin, sister, brother that holds you accountable and at the same time is able to speak truth to you, and you have a conversation with them and it feels like you look forward to that conversation every time you meet them and see them? And maybe you've lost a person that was this person, and maybe that person hasn't been replaced in the same way, but maybe God has brought you somebody else. I don't know the situation. But Titus was very much a kindred spirit to Paul. Someone that when Titus walked in the room, Paul was the happiest person to see him. Just because he was encouraging, uplifting, and he had the ability to strengthen him in the faith. And he was not shy of rebuking him if he was on the wrong path in any way. And these verses 4 to 7 are substantial. And I'll read them again because number 8 is also. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." Who did it appear to? It appeared to Titus and Paul, and it appears to every one of us when we're saved and when we're redeemed. We know the love of God, and that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we know what he's done for us and is doing for us when he comes again. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. We don't look to what we do. We always deflect to who he is, what he had done, and what he will do when he comes again. Our works are not important. It's what is he doing in the bride. Can we observe a person in the bride and the changes that God has made in that person from the time that you've met them to the time now? Is it grown in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? in the grace of Jesus Christ? Most likely, yes. And Paul saw that in Titus. But according to his mercy, he saved us. He was merciful by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. What is regeneration? What is it? In simple layman's terms. He changes the desires of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and he gives you the desires of God the Father through that Holy Spirit in the work of the cross, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The things that you used to talk about in conversation are not part of your conversation anymore, or very little. Your conversation has changed to Jesus as Lord of my life. And I will rise again one day in heaven with him because he's promised it. And only by his works are we saved. Only by the faith of Christ are we saved. Only by the direction of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ can we move forward. And only by his admonition and rebuke can we stop in our tracks and not do what we're about to do. That is against what God would want us to do. Regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What is the renewing of the Holy Ghost? The renewing of the mind and the heart that was changed by God in Ezekiel 36. He's given you a new heart. This all happens for his purpose and ways so that you can be an ambassador for Christ in the world and you can stand in the gospel and the good news of Jesus and you can propagate it with confidence that all his saints will make it into his kingdom in heaven one day. And if you are one of those saints, you will make it also because of the work of the cross. Titus had this understanding, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, his favor, we should be made heirs, joint heirs, according to the hope of eternal life. We have hope in eternal life because of what the Savior did, what our Lord and Savior did, what the Holy Spirit guides and directs us to do through the ambassadorship that we have, the title that we have. This is the faithful saying of these things, I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain the good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And what is the work of God? We discussed this in Bible study. What is the work of God? John chapter 6. Verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth into everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's the question. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see or believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread from heaven is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. The two groups, the ones that believe, the John 3:16 people, and the ones that don't believe, the John 3:18 people. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. No wise cast out is somebody that is broken, lowly, and contrite. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. And this is the Father's will which had sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should not lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. We have a sure foundation in Jesus Christ. We have a sure salvation in Jesus Christ. And we have a sure heaven to gain in Jesus Christ. And Titus, I believe, was one of those people that comforted others in doing so. And I sure hope the bride of Christ here is comforted by the fact that you have a sure home in Jesus Christ in heaven. And I sure hope you have a friend, cousin, sister, brother that holds you accountable through grace, mercy, and peace and keeps you encouraged in the word and in the faith so that you can run the race and run it the way God would have you run it. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Lord, make his face shine upon thee, be gracious unto thee. Lord, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 198.